Well, good morning, church. If you didn't get my name before, I'm David. How cool is that? My dad gave me a good, strong name when I was a little boy. Welcome to Five Corners. Welcome to our Sunday service. I want to do a little bit of teaching. We come to church to meet with the family of God, to learn and to grow and to worship and to pray and all those different things. So we're moving into a time of teaching, a time for you to learn a little bit. Now, normally when we teach out of the Bible. We're a church. We do these things. Today I want to talk to you about some biblical truths, but this is not exegetical. It's not out of a specific passage of Scripture. This is topical. I want to share with you a little bit who we are as a church. We've been in this series for the last 3 weeks, and if you remember, our first week was, who is the church? We talked about you and I are the church. The church is not a building, although we do say we come to church. The church is not this property, this place. The church is you and I. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then last week, Pastor Danny talked about our mission. We are all called to go into all the world, Matthew 28:19, and preach the gospel, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are called to be disciple makers. How cool is that? And in our specific context here at Five Corners, the church that we are, this is what God has called us, how to implement it, how it looks like in our setting here. That empowered by the Holy Spirit, everything we do, filled with the Spirit, that together we will lead people to grow in God's family. So this is us. This is what our calling is. Now, just to give you a little bit about me, I love to work with my hands. I am a builder. I think this is our fifth house that we've renovated that we live in now. It is complete. I finished it this spring. I put the last piece of siding on. And when I build a house, we are very thorough. We have always bought the worst house on the street and turned it into the best house on the street when we left. And it has been incredible, the things that I've learned. And one of the things that I've learned a lot about is framing, is structure, what holds up the building. Because it doesn't matter how pretty your house is, if it's going to fall down in a windstorm, it's probably not a house you want to live in. And likewise, it doesn't really matter how ugly your house is, as long as it's functional. So today we're going to talk a little bit about this house, about us here. Not the gathering that happens on Sunday morning, but the people who gather on Sunday morning. And within that, I want to give you a little bit of a challenge, because these are things that define who we are, but also things that haven't defined where we have arrived to. So this is a journey that there's an achievement that we're reaching for, and we're on our way down this path, but there is more. So, question for you to start out with. Do you believe God has more for you? Lift up your hand. I'm making this awkward. I'm giving you peer pressure because I want you to understand this truth, that there is more and God wants more for you. So, we are a church on mission. But today, if you take mission, it's our compass. It defines where we go. We are to make disciples. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, together we will lead people to grow in God's family. But I want to talk to you on the other side of the same coin. I want to talk to you a little bit about our values. If you're in the Welcome to the Family course, last week you had to do this thing called value mining. You have to figure out what makes you tick, what fuels your fire, what gives you the excitement to do the things that you're called to do. These are your values. Someone like me, I value doing things right. I'm a perfectionist. So if you work around me, I strive and I strive and strive to do it right. And there are some flaws with that. Often I don't do things unless I can do them well. It's just the way that God has created me to be. And I've learned to tap into that, to help it in my future, in what He's called me to do and who He's called me to be. So today we are going to talk, Amber, if you could throw it up there, we're going to talk about our values. What our church is, what fuels us, the fire, the passion behind everything we do. Now, you might have seen this printed on a few things. Values are not really a thing that we print, not really a thing that we talk about much, but they're something that we live out. And so, if this is something we're striving for, something God is calling us to do and be, it is also who we are. I want to talk to you about five values that are us. This is us at Five Corners Church. If you fit with these values, they might not be the best ones. They're just some that you fit with. This is who God has called us to be. There's a list: authenticity, participation, togetherness, hunger for God, transformation. And I want to pick apart these five different things and show you in Scripture what God has put there for us to emulate. But before I do that, I'm gonna pick on you, Crystal. This is not prepared. I have not asked her permission. But I want to honor you for coming up here and sharing your story. Your story, what you came up and said, is this list here. It really is. She started her journey with Christ going, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to be. I don't know how this is. But I'm forced. My circumstances put me in this place where I have to be real. I have to own up to what I've done. I have to be what I am. And in that authenticity, she said, I don't want to stay where I'm at. I'm going to participate in this journey that God has called me to. So she joined a group of friends that helped her through some struggles and some circumstances. And together, that group led her to this place and showed her an example of what it means to be hungry for God. Not to fill our lives with all of that different junk, but to be hungry for what God has for me. And you can see in her as she stood on the stage that she now says, Jesus has transformed me. I'm not who I was. I started with being authentic. But I am who I am because of the transformation that Christ has given to me through this journey. That's the story of our church. So I want to pick all of these apart. If you're one of those Bible people or note takers, write this down or flip it open in your Bible right now. I want to read to you Romans 12, 9. Romans 12, 9. Here's what it says. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. I want to read it again because this is important, especially in our church culture where we bring forward our best and often we bring things that are not us in order to project our best. Romans 12, 9. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. This is a command in the New Testament for us to be real with each other. To not put on masks and pretend to be something that we're not. But instead, we're called to be exactly what God has called us to be. James chapter 5, it talks about prayer and the power of prayer. But I want you to notice how being real with each other is also an underlying theme of this prayer. James 5:13. Here's what it says. Are any of you suffering hardships? Well, then you should pray. Are any of you happy? Then you should sing praises. Are any of you sick? Then you should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, then you'll be forgiven. So confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. It's James 5:13 and on. And I know for many of us, we were taught to give God our best, right? We put on the fancy clothes, we shower, we shave, and we come to church. And it's good practice, but often what happens is the pendulum swings a little bit too far, and we've taken giving God our best to a level that it should have never been. Because for some of us, giving God our best means nothing could ever be out of place. If we show something is out of place, then we're not trusting in God. We end up putting on our Sunday best, the nicest clothes, we have the best character traits, we have the kindest attitude, even to the point where it becomes fake, plastic. If something isn't at the highest standard, we can't let anyone know about it because then it'll look like we don't have it together and it looks like we're not at our best and it looks like God isn't moving in our life and we hide what is true and real in fear that others will see that it's not the best. But this is not what God wants from us. In our value of authenticity, He already knows everything about you. See, your personal holiness is not enough. We can never be good enough. We can never have it together enough. We are not enough. But He is. See, Christ said this, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me." Now we were scrolling the other day. My kids love it. Caitlin loves it. We're on Temu, this webpage that sells cheap stuff. She's scrolling through all the t-shirts, right? And they've got all these logos and these pictures. And in there's this t-shirt that says, "Be who you are." And behind it has the transgender rainbow. And it was such a disappointing thing to see. Because the world has taken this truth and only uses half of it. Be who you are. What a great thing to be. Be exactly who God created you to be. That's our calling. But it doesn't end there. That's not where it sits. Because we're not called to be something that God didn't create us to be. No, God created us, yes, to be different, to be diverse, to be the people of God, but at the same time, He's also called us to have the fruit of the Spirit. Things like self-control. The Bible says, don't gossip. Be uplifting, supporting each other in love. But don't pretend. Here's the easy example. Don't stop swearing at church. Don't. Stop swearing everywhere in your life. Because who you are at church should be no different than who you are at home or at work or with your closest friends. Because who you are is who God created you to be. And if you struggle with swearing, don't stop doing it here. Stop doing it everywhere because you want to grow the fruit of the Spirit in your life. I understand that being authentic is difficult. Being real, it's a hard place to be, to let out all your stuff. I'm not saying put the laundry on the line so they can see your underwear. I'm saying being real is difficult. We want to hold our cards close in fear that we might lose the game. But here's the truth I want you to understand of who we are. Jesus has already won. When He's on your side, you can't lose the game. He's defeated sin. He knows everything about you, and He still, in spite of it, loves you. And it even goes further than that. Jesus made you exactly who you are supposed to be. So don't hide it. Don't pretend that it's not presentable. By you being exactly who God created you to be, allowing Him to flow through you, you're a living testimony of how great He is. And as you share and as you allow others to be authentic in the same way. Wow. So who am I? Is it who I want to be? Is it who God wants me to be? And I find that truth in Scripture. In what God has taught us. He defines who I am so that I can be authentic and I can be real with that. It's not because I chose to live this way. It's because I chose to listen to what God has placed. And I follow that. But this brings us to our second value. And it too is presented in everything that we do here. Participation. John chapter 13, just before Jesus predicted that Peter would disown Him. When they're in the upper room and they're doing communion for the first time, Jesus said this, So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love one another just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And it's an interesting thought because it's this word love. It's an action word. It requires us to do something. Jesus commanded us not only to go into all the world, but also to participate in loving each other. A participant. If you've heard that word, you got the little green ribbon, right? A participant. A participator, a partaker, a sharer, a player, someone who's involved in the action. And the Bible teaches that participants in a race receive prizes. And that we are runners in the heavenly race, Corinthians 9:23. In Christianity, participants of spiritual things receive spiritual blessings, 1 Corinthians 9:13. And they also have material obligations, Romans 15:27. Christians who are participants of the afflictions of the gospel are kept by the power of God, 2 Timothy 1:8. And those who are participants of suffering because of their faith, Christ assured you of divine comfort, 2 Corinthians 1:7. They're told to rejoice. You heard that? Rejoice for being chosen to be part of Christ's suffering, 1 Peter 4:13. Because we also get to participate in his glory, 1 Peter 5:1. You see, participating is more than just showing up. If I'm on the football team and the game is about to begin and I'm sitting in the second row of the bleachers, I'm not participating in the game. It's a bad place to receive if you're a wide receiver because you're not on the field. And if this is a field sport and our goal is to win, we don't want anyone to be benched or on the sidelines. As the leadership of the church, we want to equip you. I want to impart into you the skills, the best players that you can be to provide you with opportunity to practice, to be involved, to be part of a win. See, participation is a core value here because we get to participate in celebrations on Sunday mornings. But as much as we gather on Sunday morning and we play loud music and we sing loud songs, there's more to it than this. Some of you have had opportunity to participate in the Welcome to the Family course, to discover who you are and who Christ is and who his church is and how we affect the community. If you've seen on the slides at the announcements time, we've got all these midweek things, sanctuary sessions. We've got tonight, we've got a Holy Spirit night. Wednesdays, we've got Following Jesus, anyone who wants to know more as a new believer. Participate, because there's more to celebrate as you grow and learn and become who God called you to be. We have youth on Tuesdays, teenagers. You have a place designed for you to come and celebrate who God made you to be. A place to practice in growing. And this gives us opportunity to know each other. Because I don't know about you, I sit on Sunday morning next to someone and I don't talk to them until the service ends. But when I come to these other things like fellowship nights, there's that opportunity to say, hey, you and I haven't sat down before. We got 10 minutes, let's chat. If you're new here, I want you to know that there's a place for you to learn, to grow, to lead here. If you've been coming for a while, then there's an expectation that you'll come and help out. And in turn, your life will be fulfilled. You will feel rewarded. But all of this, it can't happen unless we do it together. Unity is a value that is taught over and over again in the New Testament. Paul often cited it. He often prayed that we would have it. Jesus prayed that the church would have unity, that we would be together as Jesus and the Father are together. And one of my favorite verses is from Philippians. This is what it says. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again or I only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Did you hear that? That last line? Standing together with one spirit, one purpose. Fighting together for the faith. Like I thought I was just coming to church. Yeah, I was showing up and singing some songs, listening to some guy talk, and then going home for lunch. Like fighting together, standing together with one. This is what it looks like to be in the kingdom of God. And I say it often because it's so important. You cannot follow Jesus alone. I've seen people try it over and over and over again. And every believer that I've ever met that tried to do it alone does not remain a believer. No, being part of the church is not salvation. Jesus gives that. But if you are not a part of a church family, you can't make it on your own. You need to be part of a local church. If you love Jesus, you will love his bride. Remember that from a few weeks ago? We are the bride of Christ. The church is not a building. The church is you and me. And realistically, when our circumstances turn, when disaster happens and we feel all alone in this world, we need to press in and we need to spend more time with each other. And you understand this, but we haven't always applied it to church. For instance, if your kid got sick, you don't just ship him to the hospital in an ambulance and wait at home for it to turn. No, you go with them. You stay by their bed. You drop all of your obligations. I'm not coming to work together tomorrow because my 10-year-old is in the ICU. Life is changing, and I'm willing to drop everything to go be by their side. And that closeness is so important when tragedy strikes. So how can us, we, the church, the family of God, be and act any different? So if you haven't noticed, everything we do in church is together. We sing together. We learn together. We have communion together. We work together. We laugh together. We grow together. Togetherness is our distinction from a broken world, a divided world. And together we will show the world what really real family can look like. If you want to find a place to come and experience this togetherness, come on Thursday. Thursday at 3:00, there's a group of us that clean the church building. We don't hire it out, we do it in-house. And it's an opportunity to know someone else. Yes, I'm pushing a vacuum cleaner next to Doug, but I'm having a conversation with Doug. Yes, we get to see windows being washed, but we also get to say, what's Jesus doing in your life this week? Thursdays at 3, together. I know that being together isn't always an easy task. There's some things that need to fall in place. First, it would be hard work, but anything worth doing is worth doing well. It is hard to forgive. I've experienced it. It's hard to try again when you've been hurt. It's hard to change, to be different than what I want to be in my selfish nature. But the blessing is this. If we are close in the hard times, then we also get to share in the good times. Yes, we can grieve together, but we also get to celebrate together. So church, make it a point in the busyness of life to come out to events. Like tomorrow night, we're having a date night. Married men, you'd better be here. Buy your tickets. An opportunity to say to your wife, you and me, we get to laugh together. And look at all the people around us in the church that are laughing along with us. Our upper room service tonight, I get to pray with you. You get to pray with me. We get to spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit. This creates deep relationships that survive through the storms of life. So if you look at our list so far, authenticity, participation, togetherness, these are not natural things for us to do. In fact, our humanness in that we cannot do this on our own. We need divine intervention. And so this is where we grow a hunger for God. All of these tasks, everything from going to all the world to make disciples to showing the world what we love Jesus and loving each other is something that people, well, this is something that we've always struggled with. My own selfish desires, they keep me from accomplishing what God wants me to do. So I often find myself doing what is right only because it's right. I often find that I'm going through the motions because this is just what I've always done. But then I face opposition, and it leaves me weak and unprepared. Because I've been striving on my own, attempting to earn my salvation. And it never seems to work, putting my best forward. Instead of practicing being with Jesus, changing my mindset, instead of doing for Jesus, being with Jesus. Because everything changes. Everything changes. Let me give you a Bible story, because often we understand it better when we hear a story. After Jesus fed the 5,000, right, they're all on the hill, and they don't have enough food, and the little boy comes up and gives them fish and loaves, and they divvy it out, and suddenly there's 12 baskets of food left over. Jesus feeds the 5,000. And at the end of that story, that example, that illustration, here's the truth that Jesus was saying without using words, by giving everybody there something to eat. Here's what he says. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. This is what Jesus is saying. When you are not enough, he is enough. When you are not enough, Jesus is enough. If he can do anything, then the natural conclusion is that I want him to be involved in everything. I'm not going to throw him in one of the many compartments, guys, the box that we put God in. I'm going to work. I'm spending time with my family. I'm coming to church. Okay, God, you can speak to me now. No, because if he can do anything, I want him involved in everything. I know many people who come to church for a season, and after a while, they disappear. Maybe you've experienced this. Your faith just kind of fizzles out. And many of them, they've told me, "Wow, we were just tired of going through the motions." They realized they didn't need church to have fulfillment in their lives. And I think this is because they're missing the point of all of it. They were filling themselves with junk food, sitting on the couch eating those potato chips, going to the fast food place, watching the YouTube scrolls. Oh yeah, they're preacher guys. They're good conservative podcasts. I'm watching Charlie Kirk debate, but I'm not really participating. I'm receiving the fast food. I'm not really into what God is calling me to do and be, to join in with the church family. We're missing the point of it all. Responsibility and good deeds only take you so far. We also need to develop that hunger for God. If we're going to be healthy, we need to choose to eat healthy foods. We need to rely on him for our fulfillment, not the people around us or the circumstances we're in. And if we're not pursuing that relationship, asking for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, setting aside more time to be in his presence, then we miss the point. And so I encourage you, church, pray with us that the Spirit of God will come and be with us, to live in us. Because when we gather us together, we the church, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I want to see the Holy Spirit move in my life, in our church life, in our faith, in our community. So come and seek him with us. Come and spend time together as a group. Just as the believers in Acts chapter 2, they went to the upper room to wait on the Holy Spirit. And we can make this a place that we can develop a hunger for God. That's the plan for tonight. We're coming back at 5 o'clock, right at supper time, because that's when we normally eat. And we're saying, Jesus, I want to hunger for you. We're meeting as a church at 5 o'clock tonight to lift up our hands and praise him and say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me again so that I can overflow in all of those around me. This is something we want to see in every part of our family. All the way from the kids who dance in the corner to the seniors who sit at the back because their legs are no longer strong enough to hold them up. And they say, I am here because Jesus has called me to be here. And that hunger for God, the prayers that say, we want more of you, they give him the freedom to do what God does best. Transformation. The Old Testament tells us of a promise, a covenant that reveals to us that we can never live up to the standard of holiness that God is. This is kind of foundational, but we need to understand it. Our sin keeps us from being who he's created us to be. Remember that half-truth that I was talking about earlier? Be who you are. No, be who God created you to be. Our sin keeps us from being who he's created us to be. But just like we celebrated Easter, Christ defeated sin. Death no longer has that sting. And he offers to us a new beginning. One where we can be exactly what we've been created to be. Let me give you an example. Have you ever seen a welder? I watch these guys on YouTube all the time. They're amazing. They can take two pieces of metal and stick them together with this bright, flashy thing that they're holding in their hands. So I decided I'm going to learn a new skill because, you know, I'm 45. When you're 45, you kind of get in the mundane. I'm going to learn how to weld. So I got myself a welder, and I got the welding mask, and so far, I am really, really good at poking holes in things with electricity. You take this welder and you stick a rod in the end of it and you take your two pieces of metal clamped together and then you put this mask on. And this mask is black. You can't see through it. It's impossible to see through this mask. So you're balancing these two pieces of metal and you've got this big rod that's hooked up to 220 volts 50 amps arcing through it, and you're electrocuting everything with your eyes closed in hopes that these pieces of metal melt in their heat and stick together without shocking yourself or more likely burning you or having something fall on you that creates scars. Welding. With that dark mask. It's impossible to see. It's impossible to look through. But as soon as the arc flashes, as soon as the torch gets close to the metal, the electricity jumps and creates light. And suddenly, through that mask, you can see. So the welder constantly has to flip the mask up and down, up and down. Up and down, because when he's not welding, he can't see what's in the hole. And I've learned this. You got the shaky thing on your head, and you got to do this. And your welding mask falls down, and hopefully you haven't moved your hands, and you can weld. And then, did I do it right? You got to flip it back up, and shake your head again, and flip it back up, and shake your head again. In the same way, in our spiritual faith, we have a veil, a welding mask between us and God. It's making it difficult to see what he's doing in the spiritual realm. There's this black piece of glass that we can only see when it lights up bright on the other side. And Jesus, this is something important. Christ did for us when he died on the cross and rose again. We find it in 2 Corinthians 3:16. And this is what it says. Whenever someone turns to the Lord, the welding mask, the veil, is taken away. When you say, Jesus, I will make you more than enough, we no longer have to wear the welding mask. We can see the work that is being done without the black thing in the way. For the Lord is spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had the veil removed, the welding mask removed, we can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. And so when I look at our core values, the things that fuel us as a church, the things that get us excited enough to come to the front and say, I have a story to share, the ones that I get to stand on the stage and say, look at this wonderful work Christ is doing. Can we all be like this? Transformation. Transformation. And I think it's my favorite because the values, they're the why behind all of the things we do. And in our family here at Five Corners, this is the reason we get up in the morning. This is the reason we are who we are, because we want Christ to transform us to be like him. This value, this why, it's not in our own ability, it's in God's. He does this in us. All we have to do is give him the space. So I want us to step back and I want us to look at the big picture of all these values. Lisa? They start with us as an individual, with authenticity. Go back one more, Adam. They start with us as an individual. If I'm going to be real with the people around me, it's a choice that I make. If I'm going to be real with God, I'm going to confess my sins and say, Jesus, will you forgive me? That authenticity, an individual place, is where I start. I make the choice by faith to follow him. But it doesn't stay there. God's called us to participate in what he's doing. He didn't save us from our sins. He saved us from our sins so that we could partner with him. The salvation is just the beginning, and we get this incredible partnership. And if you see, it moves from the individual to the corporate gathering, where together we get to do this. This is the family of God. It's not me by myself just trying my best. It's together with the bride of Christ, the family of God, doing this. But again, it doesn't rest there. I love you people, but us, we're just people. We need more, and there is more, and it moves to the spiritual place where the Holy Spirit comes in, where Jesus says, I see your heart, to work together, to come and be who you've called to be, and I want to intervene and give you more than you could ever have on your own. From the individual to the corporate, to the supernatural place where we're partnered with God to accomplish what he's called us to do. That's what fuels us as a church. And so today, I want to invite you. I want to ask you to come participate, to come share with us this incredible story where you choose and you say, Jesus, I will choose you. I will do this together with my family so that you can change me. So I don't have to wear the shirt that says, be who I am, but I can say, be who you created me to be, which is more than I could ever be on my own. I think there's a half-truth that we can accomplish a lot. Again, we see it in the world. Come clean the environment. Come protest together. If we work together, we can accomplish a lot. But the half of that truth is God has called us to work together, needs to be with the other half of the truth, to partner with him. Because you by yourself, you can accomplish some. Us together, we can accomplish a lot. But our values take it to the next level, because with God, anything is possible. So if nothing else, this is what I want you to hear today. Jesus is more than enough. With God, anything is possible. Jesus is more than enough. As we pursue him and allow him to change us together as the family of God, we can do anything that he calls us to, from the individual to the corporate to the supernatural. So as we close the teaching time, I want to invite you. I want to invite you to commit to a couple of things. First, to commit to be exactly who God created you to be. To take the pretense off. And to be exactly who God created you to be. Secondly, I want to invite you to participate with us. Not to sit in the bleachers and cheer the team on. I love someone cheering. Makes me go further. But even better than that, I love someone beside me who can walk with me, who can play the game, who can pass the ball to. So one, a call to be authentic. Two, a call to participate with us in the family of God. And then the third thing that I want to call you to as we close is to ask the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to take those two things, my authenticity and our togetherness, participating, and transform us. To have the Holy Spirit flow out of us, bubbling over into everyone around us. So, I want to close in prayer. But I want you to keep these three things in mind. If you need some space at the altar to publicly present that, God, I'm going to commit. I'm not going to be the Christian that shows up 2 out of 3 weeks. I'm going to be the Christian that's here every time that you call me to be here. It's going to be consistent. I want to open up the altar for you to come and say, Jesus, I've lived my life as if I'm in charge, but today I want to commit to you that you're more than enough. So as I pray, if that's what God is leading you to do, I'm here for you. And I would love to chat with you. As we make disciples, as we multiply our leadership, and out of that overflow, hunger for God, targeting the transformation of families in our community, this is what God is calling us to. Let's pray. Jesus, today I commit to you, and I pray this is the prayer for everyone else in this room. I commit to you to join in to what you've called us to do and be. I commit to you, not just part of my life, not just that one little compartment that says, oh, it's time in church, I want to be with God, but I want you in everything in my life. So Jesus, I commit to you everything. I commit to you that I will be who you called me to be. Not who I think I am, but who you named me to be. Jesus, today I commit to you that I will participate in your story, in your journey, in what you've called me to act. And Jesus, I commit today that that requires, it's a must, that I join the family of God in this journey. So I commit to being part of a local church family, either this one or the one, another one down the road. Jesus, I commit to being part of who you've called me to be with. And in that, Jesus, I commit to being hungry for you, to not fill my life with all of the other junk that comes up, the busyness, the reels, the culture. Jesus, I commit to eating well, to hungering for you. And then I allow you, I ask that you would, because I desire it, I want it. Would you come and would you transform me? to be even greater than I already am. Not because I am anything, but because you're in me. And to be even greater than that, because I am with you. And Jesus, you've already won, so when I partner with you and you pass me the ball, it's because you know I'm ready. So I commit to you my authenticity, my participation, to do this together and hunger for you. And I am open for you to change me, to transform me into a child of God. That's my prayer for me, for my church family, for the bride of Christ. We are yours. You are more than enough. More than enough. So, everyone who agrees with that, in Jesus' name, amen.